You do the intro.
Oh, please. Wait, I forgot the other D'Amelio.
Scissor Ray here.
Hello, and welcome back to our podcast. I'm Heidi, and I'm here with
Mark.
We are the other D'Amelios. Thank you so much for listening.
So, I thought we'd start off just kind of talking about some of the interesting things that happened this week. And there was a bunch of times this week that you and I were separated, and I was with Charlie. You were over at Dixie's apartment. But so Charlie decided.
Wait, hold on. Sorry. Ahead. You say it like, because people might not know, like we're separated. We are always together.
Yes, we're always together.
We're always together. So,
when we're not together,
usually
it's
like
weird.
If you're with Charlie, like, I'll go with you guys. Or if I'm with Dixie, you'll come with us. Okay, continue.
So people always ask, like, how has the newfound notoriety and affected, and the fact that we're in Hollywood, how has it affected us? And I am here to tell you that Charlie D'Amelio is 100% a kid.
Unaffected.
A normal 16-year-old. So there's packages that show up, and where you would think she would go in the direction of buying things that were like, wait, don't buy, like jewelry or things that, and she does buy that, but she doesn't go
crazy
with that stuff. But she buys a lot of things, whether it's stuffed animals,
toys, Legos.
She loves making slime.
Puzzles.
And I don't know, like she's always loved doing that stuff. And she had prior to this, had a really normal childhood. But I think partly because of COVID and that she's home a lot, and partly I think she just misses being
a little kid,
because she does work and does a lot of adult type things. But so anyway, you might have seen she bought Orbeez. And so she didn't just buy a few of them. And I don't know really what they are. They're just like these.
It was like 60,000 or something.
No, more than that. She said there was like 600,000.
600,000? Okay. She had a blow up, like a toy blow up swimming pool. It's in the shape of a heart. She got it on set. She was on a set doing a photo shoot. And they asked her if she wanted it. And she was like, absolutely. So that was step one. Continue.
So
that's why we have a pool.
You were out. And I'm on the couch just watching TV, and she comes, and she shows me, she's like, you want to see my TikTok? And I said, okay. And she goes, she shows me that she jumped. So she has this pool with heart-shaped pool right outside of her bedroom outside.
Like a kiddie pool.
And I don't know how it happened. Like, who filled that or what? Or
she did.
She did it by herself.
She filled the entire pool with 600,000 Orbeez.
And then she ends up.
And they expand, so it's full to the top.
And she ends up doing a TikTok with it. And she jumps into it. And I'm sitting there just looking at her like, and you know what? I'm really happy about it, actually, because
I love,
she was smiling. She was having fun. She makes me laugh. Dude, both kids make me laugh. They're both really funny, but that was it. And then she's just, and that, I think what's cool about it is people often ask us, like, why do you think Charlie was so relatable? And I think that's the reasons. And she doesn't care. She cares about some things, but then like just the things that normal people might say, hey, maybe you don't post that. She shows her true self. And I think that's why people like it. So as a dad, I'm sitting there looking at it going, wow, there's a lot worse things that could be happening with my 16-year-old daughter. But filling up a pool with 600,000 Orbeez is not one of the things that I'm really worried about.
You know what I think too, because I've asked her about this, about, you know, did you miss something in your childhood? Like, why do you buy all the toys? Like, I was curious. And she said, because she does work a lot and she's got school and all of that. And in her downtime, those are the things, like, she doesn't have to think about it. It's simple, like, fun things that she enjoys. So it's almost like a little bit of, like, a stress reliever, you know, like, that's her version of self-care. It was, like, building Legos or jumping in a pool of Orbeez. Like, that makes her mind relax and, like, just, like, it's fun and sort of just, like, thoughtless fun.
I just tweeted out, Heidi and I are headed to record our podcast. Question, do you feel like you can tell your parents anything? I know I could tell my mom anything, and I still do. I still call my mom and tell her all kinds of stuff, and she gives me advice and vice versa. I said, are there any topics of conversation that are off limits to discuss with your parents? And so it's kind of a strange balance because you want to be able to create an environment where your kids will tell you anything. But with that, I think where some people go wrong is they try to be their kid's best friend. And that's where I think we've done a good job being there for the girls where they'll tell us anything. Like sometimes it's too much information for me as a dad, but I've like, that's what I wanted. I didn't want to ever have them say, I didn't think I could come to you and tell you that. And I will tell you what I've done is I probably made a bigger deal out of the small things. And then when the big things come, I 100% do not judge, do not, because I want them, like the small things, if they tell me something, Dad, I didn't do well on a test or whatever, it's like, Charlie, come on, you or Dixie, come on, you guys know. But when it's a big thing, and I'm trying to think of they don't have a lot of big things that they come to us and tell us that are an issue, but I never want them to go back and say, I can't believe I told my dad that, and the way he reacted was.
Yeah. I feel like there was a time where they were like, not sure. Like, I know, I can't even think of like big things, but they really weren't that big. But to them, they were nervous and they tried to handle things on their own. And then when they came to us and saw how we were like, all right, we're here for you. Like, we got you. We'll help you figure this out. And they were like, wait a minute. Okay. So, because as they got older and they started, you know, you make mistakes and you're trying to figure things out. And then they realized really quickly, like, all those times where you could tell us anything. And they did as they grew up. But, like, as they got older and things, like, they thought this was huge. And then they told us and we were like, okay. Like, we showed them they could trust us by telling us anything because they got what they needed out of it. The support, not being judged, and, like, helped them figure it out. And they weren't on their own. So, but I do still think there's stuff they don't tell us. I think there's stuff they tell each other. And I think that's perfectly fine, too. Like, I don't have to know everything. I don't know what the right answer to that is. But, like, I do think there's things that it's, like, for them and to share with each other or for them and their friends or like that. And that's okay. I think for a time, like, I wanted to know everything, but I realized that's, like, for them, some things, nothing dangerous or like crazy, but
yeah. And I think there's definitely things that you guys share as girls and women that they don't necessarily share with me, nor do I think I could have a good perspective on it because of who I am. But I'm just more happy that when there is something that they know that they can come to me.
There's been a lot of times when they've come to me and I said, I probably when they were like a little bit younger and like boys and stuff. And I was like, actually, why don't we get your dad in this conversation? Because he was a middle school boy or whatever. And I think he would have a good perspective. And you do a good job of like trying to remember when you were that age and kind of like where your head was at. And they would always be like, no, no, no. And then I'm like, just trust me. And then they would. And it was always like good teamwork. Because there's definitely things like, I don't know. Like, I don't know how to help you. But you and I working together, I think, was better.
Yeah. So it was really interesting. And I tweeted this out like maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours ago. So we got some good responses. Heidi and I are heading to record our podcast. Question, do you feel like you can tell your parents anything? I know I could tell my mom anything and I still do. Are there any topics of conversation that are off limits to discuss with your parents?
I was shocked. Almost every answer is mental health. Don't think I can talk to my parents about my mental health. And that was like, wow, there's a lot. Almost every single one.
And
which
we talk
is very
about,
sad.
And we talk about that all the time. And I mean, I think it's something you have to talk about. And we bring that up all the time. They also said, which was interesting, kind of what we were just talking about, was that they can tell their mom things that they can't tell their dad, which...
Well, I will tell you, I have, looking at all those responses, I had this thought. Do the kids, or whoever's, some of them are college kids too, they're not just like high school kids, do they think, feel that they can't tell their parents because they don't think their parents will understand? Or is it just really about them not having the confidence? Or, you know, I wonder what is it based on? Based on like some of them were like, my parents are awesome. I don't think I could talk to them about my mental health. I wonder if it's more about the kid saying like, I think the parents would love for them to talk about their mental health, but maybe they're just not comfortable. I also think these kids are so comfortable typing on their phones. I think it's hard for them to have the words to come, like to actually hear themselves talking about it out loud to their parents. Like, you know, I don't know, maybe practice actually saying the words, even if you're by yourself, like to hear the words come out of your mouth, that might make it a little bit more comfortable. But
I obviously won't say who sent this in. I don't even know. But he or she said, I feel like mental health discussions are off limits for me only because my mom would rather say everything is fine because she wouldn't want to believe that I could be having hard days mentally. And she is like, you're fine, etc. Everyone in the comments is saying that they talk to their parents most of the time. It's just their mom. Fathers are very distant from their kids most of the time, which is awful. With divorced parents and with a dad who doesn't even care, I haven't seen in years. Yeah, I mean, look, I don't want to come across that we're...
No, and we've come a long way. Like, there was a absolutely. Time we're like, oh my God, we have so much fun. Like, what could you possibly be down about? Like, I realized, well, we can't do that.
Yeah, and I look, again, I think I've said this a bunch of times before, but I used to parent based off of my needs that I had when I was a kid. And then when you sit there and you provide for your kids and you give them all these things, and you, all these things that you wanted when maybe you were a kid, and you're like, look, you have two parents that have a happy marriage. You open the refrigerator door, there's food in there. There's a lot of positive things. And I had to break the cycle of almost saying like, well, what do you have to be upset about? Why do you have anxiety? And I understand anxiety. I mean, I understand mm-hmm. that I have it myself and I get it, but I think a lot of parents out there don't deal with it properly and just say,
it's hard.
Like, come on, you were just smiling or mm-hmm. you're a happy-go-lucky. It's deeper than that. And mm-hmm. no, I don't want to ever attempt to pretend that we have the answers. But I just think it's just a dialogue, it's a conversation, and it's keep taking the temperature of your kids and knowing when and if you may need to get a professional involved, but definitely not just
you're fine.
Yeah, man.
I think kids do want to talk about it in their own little world. It's hard to say the words. And so as a parent, I don't know, everybody knows their own kid the best. So figure out how to make it like comfortable for them based on your kid. I also think too, like a lot of people said, you know, I can tell my mom, but not my dad. And you were just saying that. I think sometimes dads want to fix things. And so, okay, well, all right, what's going to make you happy? All right, you want to, you know, and it's hard because that's maybe not what the kid needs at the time. So they feel like their dad isn't a help.
Hence why we have four dogs.
Yeah. Yeah.
Just trying to fix things, make everyone happy.
You know, I still like have moments where, you know, I'll see them down or upset and like I get nervous. Like, how can I help them through this moment without like making it worse or validating their feelings and making sure they feel supported? Sometimes they just want to hug. They just want to like cry. Charlie does a good job of like, I don't want to talk about it. I want to cry and I want to be left alone and I'm going to be fine. But it took her a long time to get there. Like sometimes she would just be crying in her room and I'm like, tell me what it is. What's wrong? And she would just, but now she's, you know, older and she's like, I just want to cry. I just want to hug and I just want to be left alone and I will be fine.
But I think there's a part if you just, if parents just tell their kids that they have their back, they can come to them with anything. I do think there's a safety net that we've created to let the girls know that even if they don't tell us everything, they know they can. Mm-hmm. And they know we're not going to bite their head off mm-hmm. if they come to us. And that's got to be really tough when for kids. And I think what happens now is like we go and look at these – every generation does it to the next generation, and it's not fair because we're not living in their world. We know what it was like to be a teenager in our world, and that's what I read a lot of kids just saying that their parents don't understand,
mm-hmm. Or they feel like they're going to be judged by the parents.
Right. I think my advice to parents would be, you know, to listen and not to judge and. Because I think once you judge and once you close the door,
it's hard to reopen
that.
I think as parents, you know, see what they're tweeting. Maybe see like if you can figure out, are they really okay? Because I think there's a lot of kids that put on a happy face. I know ours have done that many times. And if you feel like as a parent, I don't know, like sometimes I just have a gut like, are you okay? And then they'll just start crying. I don't know. So you gotta, without being invasive and like, you need to tell me what's wrong. Just create an environment that is welcoming for them to, you know, if there's ever anything you want to talk about. I think that's worked for me. So that could be a thing. And for a kid, if there's something you know, all these people that commented, I can't talk about my mental health with my parents. Again, like, I feel like if they said the words out loud for themselves and let themselves hear it, to me, that's like the first step. Like, okay, I feel sad when or whatever, and or this is really upsetting me. Hear yourself say it, because I think saying it out loud is really hard.
I'm sure it's not been they have never said anything, and now all of a sudden they're going to say something. I'm sure there are, for a lot of these kids, mm-hmm. they've started maybe talking about the subject by saying, oh, hey, my friends, my friend's is suffering with mental illness, and maybe the parents, if the parent would say, wow, well, you know, what are they doing? How are they getting help? Or then I think that would open up. But,
it's so hard.
Sometimes it may be a situation where the parent just shuts them down mm-hmm. and not even they kind of broach the subject and indirectly and they're shut down. And so,
or maybe they could like journal it too, their own feelings, and see, you know, at least get it out. I feel like sometimes like getting it out feels a little bit better, you know, as the.
And I just think it's you can't say. I see it. I read the stuff. Oh, they're being soft, or these kids are soft nowadays. And I just don't think that's fair, and I don't think it's accurate. And I think that perpetuates the problem where they feel like I'm being soft if I express myself mm-hmm. or I talk about my feelings, and it's definitely a problem. So
yeah. So I am so proud of Dixie. She has been working her butt off. She has been writing in the studio so much lately. And over the weekend, I was at her apartment and she let me hear some of the songs she wrote. And I'm so excited. I think it's a little therapeutic for her to kind of like get her feelings and thoughts out. So that was really cool. And I can't wait for you to hear them. I'm sure when next time she's over, she'll let play them for you.
No, I think that's awesome, because I think that's, you know, when she first started getting into music, we were picking songs that were already written. And now I think the fact that she's writing with other writers and is learning how to do the process, I think it's awesome. Because I think the songs are going to have, where she was picking songs that kind of fit into what her thoughts and mm-hmm. feelings were all about. That's the difference between taking a song that is already written for someone else and making it your own. And now she's writing songs about her experiences, which I think are going to make much better songs because they're more heartfelt and mm-hmm. more true to who she is. And I love the fact that she's figuring out the process. And
yeah, it's so cool. She said each song is different. Sometimes it starts with the track. Sometimes it starts with the lyrics. And so I was like, what about this one? She's like, Mom, we wrote so many. Like, I don't remember.
I mean, I couldn't be happier with her music team. Like, everybody that's on from Hitco and from LA to Kate and Dom just... It's like a family.
Yeah, they're great for her. They're like perfect for her. But wait, while I was at her apartment, because I haven't been in a little while, because she's been in the studio, so I haven't really been over. I was floored because it's starting to have like her own personal touches on it. And I know she's been buying some things, but it looks so cool. She rearranged the furniture in the living room and dining room, and I was like, why did we not think about this before? It didn't work the way it was, but it looks really cool. And yeah, I spent the day with her. The one thing she did ask me to do is organize her bathroom, like just products and stuff. And it kind of simplified everything. She just had too much stuff. But she's so proud of herself. Like she really had the time to sit and like, see, okay, this is what I like. And like, the aesthetic is beautiful, and I'm so proud of her. It looks so cool. It was just fun hanging. Like, we usually always have somewhere to go or somewhere to be, and we didn't, and we just got to hang. And it was cool hanging with her.
And then I ended up hanging out with Charlie Saturday day, and I think I was just taking her somewhere to a store or something for running an errand or something, and we were driving, so... And I had the music on, and she's like, Dad, let's drive some more.
She never wants to do that.
I know. I was like, yeah, absolutely. Like, so I play my music for a little while, then she switches it over to her music, and then some of her music, it's funny, because some of her music is stuff that she learned from she has a pretty eclectic taste in music of new and old, and I think it just happens that because we used to always play music in the car and in the house and stuff, and then we went, and it's funny, like I'm trying to figure out whether the fact that she spends a lot of time at home in her room, obviously there's the COVID situation, but other than that, and then when I talk with other parents,
all of their
who
kids
are not, I just want to make sure it's not the fact that she's involved in social media and the pressures and all that stuff. I don't want her to all of a sudden become a recluse and stay in the house all the time. I want her. And she was totally enjoying it. We had the top down and we got videoed by one of the paparazzi guys that we really like, Josh.
Yeah.
Stopped and then I said, all right, you ready to go home? She's like, no, let's go get coffee. So we went to Dunkin' Donuts to get coffee, and they were sold out of the
remix,
the cold foam,
her new drink.
Yeah, the foam. They're sold. I don't know how you sell out of foam.
Oh, like, yeah, wait, I don't know. So isn't it made of milk or something?
Yeah, probably.
But so they were out of milk.
I think maybe there's a process to make it. We probably know this, but. Yeah, I don't know. I'll Google how to make foam.
Aw, that's so cute. You guys hung out.
Yeah, and then Josh came, and we got Josh a coffee, and she handed it to him, and it was a fun day. So it was really cool. It was a weekend that we all interacted together and separately, and a lot of fun.
I think I hear a lot of, because I ask parents the same question, like, their teenagers are just in their room. They want to be in their room. They're watching movies and on their phones. And sometimes I think, like, why does she only want to just hang in her room? But a lot of kids are doing that. But it's cool that she wanted to go out, because then you kind of feel like, all right, she's okay.
Yeah, and the city was, I know there's still COVID is happening, and it's
but things are starting to open up here.
Absolutely, and restaurants and a lot of stuff, and it's beautiful here in California, where it's
well. That's cool. Yeah, we both had our one-on-one time with each a child, so that's fun. That doesn't happen a lot. Like, I feel like it's either all of us, or like you and I are together all the time, or the girls are together. But that was nice to divide up for once.
Yeah, and then you and I spent time together.
Yeah.
Yesterday.
Yeah.
Last night we went out to dinner with a good friend of mine from UConn and his wife. And
yeah, they were so nice. And it's so funny. They're all, like, we have teens. They have triplet 12-year-olds, and then the other couple has, like, their youngest is an 8-month-old, their oldest is 6, and there's one in the middle. And I was just like, we just were all on different playing fields, but all like, it, you know, I don't care how old your kids are. Like, you're struggling. Parenting is hard. And just when you feel like I know I feel this way. Just when I feel like, okay, I figured this out. This is how things change. And that's the one constant in parenting. Your kids are forever changing, which is good. Like, they're evolving, but it's, you know, you feel like confident and you're feeling good about your parenting, and then things switch up.
Right. And Dixie doesn't get that. Sometimes she's like, you're always stressed out. I'm like, I'm not stressed. All I do since the second you were born is make sure you don't die and that you're healthy, and that so just because you move out of the house doesn't mean I'm not, like, I'm worrying about her more now. Like, at least with Charlie, I'm like, knock
She's
on the door.
Home.
Hey,
yeah.
You okay in there? Everything good? You're still, you know, and she'll come out to go up to the kitchen and hi, Dad. Hi, Char. But with Dixie, because she doesn't live with us, it's like I'm always,
yeah.
Wait, where are you going? What's going on? What's it? So?
Yeah, she FaceTimes a lot more, which is nice.
Yeah, she does.
I do love that.
From last night, going out, just us, I think what first people should understand is, like, we've always made time for each other together as a couple. Not, although we do things all four of us, and we have done things all four of us, we always do things together. So I'm excited as things in LA start to open up, not just doing stuff with all four of us, like going to a game, but like going to a game just you and I, and doing things and mixing it up. I think everybody misses that.
Yeah,
I mean, I will never ever take things, the simple things that we took for granted before, for granted again. Just to being able to go to see a concert, and I think that's what happened, like with the Roaring Twenties, the Roaring 1920s. After the Spanish flu, everybody just kind of let loose, and so maybe we're gonna have another Roaring Twenties where. And I think I definitely have a newfound appreciation for all the simple things that I took for granted, whether it's sporting events or being around people. I like to be around. I guess my point is, I'm just not just for me. I want to be able to do things with, like, I can't imagine going to a baseball stadium and being around 50,000 people, but at some point it's going to happen again.
I feel like it's going to be weird. Like, we haven't been in a crowded thing anywhere that was crowded, so I think everybody's gonna have to reacclimate, is that the right word, to being around, you know. I guess it'll happen slowly though, so it'll be,
I know, I can't imagine what we've experienced LA during COVID, and there's been very little traffic and being able to get to places. Like, we're going to have to figure out that the trip to Santa Monica, which is taking, you know, 15 minutes, will probably take an hour and 15 minutes.
Yeah, we haven't.
We haven't had that.
Live that yet.
So we're going to have to pad our schedule with travel time. Thanks, everybody, for listening to Mark and Heidi, the Other D'Amelios. I love doing this with you, Ed. It's a lot of fun.
I do, too. This is, like, super fun to spend the time with you. Thanks for being here with me.
Thanks for being here with me. All right, everybody. Thank you so much. Don't forget to, you can follow me or not, But if you'd like to, at Mark D'Amelio on all socials.
And me at Heidi D'Amelio.
Right. And wait, I do want to say one thing about rating this podcast, because we got bad ratings before the thing even went on. Somebody said it's dry and boring.
And there was nothing up
there. There was nothing on there. So I'm like, so look, if you want to give us 5 stars, we'd appreciate it.
We're not going to hate it.
But like, give us a real critique. It's fine.
We want to get better and do better.
Yeah, because we have no idea what we're doing. But, you know, hook us up with 5 if you feel like it. But
write a review, share it.
Yeah.
All that. Thank you.
Bye.